message you're about to hear was recorded at New Life Church of the Nazarene. New Life is located at 300 Yoloa Street on Knock Ash Hill in San Francisco, California, 94127. Join us for Sunday worship services beginning at 10:45 a.m. The mission of New Life is to become like Christ, to belong as His community, and to bring His gospel to the world, one life at a time.
Listen to the story of today's message, and then we'll go through a little bit of summary of recap. So I'm going to invite Brad Verghese to share with you the story of the flood this morning. And with ears attentive, let's hear the story, Brad.
The number of humans on the earth grew rapidly. Not only did sin spread from Adam and Eve to their sons, it spread to their sons' children and their children's children, on and on. Even though humans were created in God's image, everyone chose to disobey God. They constantly hurt each other with their words, their actions, their bodies. God saw that people's thoughts were completely evil, all of the time. This broke his heart and made him wish he had never created humans. So God decided to start over. He said, "I will completely wipe out this human race that I've created. I am sorry I ever made them." But there was one man named Noah who had a close relationship with God. Noah was the only man living on the earth at that time who had this kind of relationship with God. So God said to Noah, "I've decided to cover the earth with a flood, destroying everything alive, but I will give you a plan to keep you safe." God then told Noah to build a large boat called an ark, giving him specific instructions about how big to make it and what this boat should be like. God said to him, "Make a boat from wood and seal it with tar, inside and out. Then build many decks and stalls for animals inside of it. I promise to keep you safe in this ark. Bring 7 pairs of animals I have approved for sacrifices, and 1 pair of each of the others. These animals will come to you to be kept alive. And remember, take enough food for your family and for all the animals." So Noah did everything exactly as God told him to do. Just as God said, the floods came. Water burst out from the earth, and rain poured from the sky. When the waters came, Noah and his family and all of the animals came on board the ark. As the waters rose, the boat floated safely on the surface. The flood covered even the tallest mountains, and all living creatures on the earth were destroyed, except for those on the ark. After 40 days, the rain stopped. Many months passed as the waters slowly began to dry up. For weeks, Noah sent out a dove to see if it could find dry land. Finally, the dove returned with an olive leaf in its mouth. So Noah sent the dove out again, and when it didn't come back, he knew it was safe to return to land. As soon as Noah came off of the ark, he built an altar, chose pure animals from every species, and sacrificed them to God as a symbol of thankfulness and worship. God was pleased with Noah's sacrifice and said, "I will never again curse the earth, destroying all things with a flood, even though people's thoughts and actions are bent toward evil from childhood. As a symbol of my promise, I will hang a rainbow in the clouds. When you see a rainbow, this will remind you of my promise to you." Then God told Noah and his sons, "I have put all animals under your control. You can use them for food, but you must never eat animals that still have their lifeblood in them. And those who murder must be punished by death. Life is in the blood, and all life belongs to me." God blessed Noah and his sons, telling them to have many children and once again fill the earth with people.
Thanks, Brad. Would you pray with me? Lord, we worship you in your word this morning and in your spirit. We ask that your truth would cause us to tremble before the thoughts of what happened in the flood. And as we even approach this baptism, may we make certain connections in our own lives as we observe our sisters testify of your grace and your forgiveness. Lord, may we examine our own status before you. Lord, we thank you for this entire story that we've been walking through for many weeks now. Continue to weave us into your story, this amazing story of glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Brad, for reading that story. I'm going to give another version of that, one that many of us may have grown up hearing. And so it's the story of Noah's Ark, nice and colorful. And this is much faster than what Brad read to us. And I will read it for you. One day God said to Noah, "I'm sending a great flood which will cover all the earth." He told Noah to build a huge ship called an ark. Why is Noah building that ark? Everyone wondered, and as a good Sunday school teacher would do, you go all the way around. Right, boys and girls? Right, boys and girls? God told Noah to put his family and two of every kind of animal on the ark, and let me put Noah and his family, high tech. Noah took enough food to last a long time. The animals climbed aboard two by two. Is this bringing back memories for everyone? Is this bringing back? And just before Noah closed the door to the ark, heavy rains began to fall. There's one more giraffe here, the tall one. And everyone says, ooh and ah. Ooh and ah. This is the best part. Okay. Coming from this side. Oh, and it's falling on me now. The rain poured down for 40 days and nights. The whole earth was covered with water. But everyone aboard the ark stayed safe and dry when the rain stopped. Noah sent out a dove to look for dry land, and my piece here will be some of the supplies inside of the ark. It's all falling on me here. We continue. The dove came back holding an olive branch. Soon after, Noah let all the animals leave the ark. A rainbow appeared in the sky. It was a sign that God would never flood the whole world again. And I want to ask, all in the presence of this pretty colored story, what's missing? Dead bodies, thank you. What else? Danger, what else? Oh, you said danger or anger? Anger, what else? What else is missing? He fell. No. The story is meant for children, and I've always wondered why. We've been walking through the story of God, a story that began in our first week in the beginnings with a rebellion in the heavens. Even before creation, there was the bright morning star, Lucifer, who was rebelling against God and took the angels. And the next week, Pastor Jeff brought to us the word about the first humans among creation, the goodness of his creation, the very goodness of his image. And yet the following week, in part three of the story of God, we saw that they even rebelled in the garden. They were separated, alienated from the relationship God had established, and God was angry. And he cast them out of the garden. And last week, Curtis brought to us a message of brothers, and the worship that was offered, some of it was accepted, but others of it was less than accepted, and a murder, the first murder between brothers, also an act of rebellion against God. We walk into this week, this fifth message of the story of God, and wonder, where is the anger? Where are the dead bodies? We heard about it, it's not in here, because we don't teach children that, because it'll scare them. And it's frightening. But we have to remember that's in the Word, because every inclination of man's heart was evil. And God had to punish. Remember, he is a holy God. A good God could not allow these murders that continued beyond Cain and Abel throughout the lands and the generation. And so there's bad news associated with good news. I want to share a few statistics here from some of the more recent tragedies associated with water. And maybe this will strike some memories in our times here. Just recently, in April of 2012, the island of Fiji was flooded. Some of our church members here are natives of Fiji, but it left 5 dead and 8,000 people displaced in the Fijian floods. A few months before then, in October of 2011, the land where my father grew up in Thailand was struck with monsoon rains. 281 were killed in those floods. And in Cambodia, there were additionally 200 more who were killed due to the flooding and the rains and the destruction. Rewind back to 2011. In March of 2011 in Tohoku, Japan, there were earthquakes and tsunamis, and you heard about the nuclear reactors in the news, and 15,867 deaths, 6,109 injured, almost a million if you add up all the partially damaged and all the half-collapsed and fully collapsed buildings, just wreak havoc on the small island because of the water and the earthquakes and all of these things. Rewind even back further onto our own soil here in the U.S. Hurricane Katrina, New Orleans, 2005 of August. We saw the images on the news. We heard of all of the destruction, leaving $81 billion in total property damage, 1,836 dead. And just a year before that, around Christmas of 2004, the Indian Ocean earthquake, the tsunamis that ensued from there, 14 countries affected, the top four, Indonesia, Sri Lanka, India, and Thailand. 230,000 were killed in those rains, and we wonder, those are just small island nations. What about the world? 40 days, 40 nights. What kind of destruction must have happened there? And this is not going to be dwelling simply on the corruption of the human body and the mold and all the decay that's happening there. But God must have been pretty angry. And you must wonder, you have to ask yourself, did they do something wrong? These people in Indonesia and Sri Lanka and India and Thailand, did these people do something wrong? Are they worse off than we are living here in safety? Did people in New Orleans deserve what they got? And the scary and frightening answer is, yeah. Now, I know you want to throw rocks at me right now because you're going to say, well, who are you to say that? What a terrible thing to say. We all deserve. We all, without question, all deserve, in our sin and rebellion against God, the same as Cain. We all deserve that. And I'm so glad the story doesn't end there, though. When we think about the flood, what did God provide Noah? Salvation through the symbol of a boat, an ark. And as I was reading through this, I was wondering, what if he didn't? What if Noah, in his own free will, decided, you know, God, that sounds really foolish. I'm going to disobey you right now. Well, he and his family would have also been objects of wrath. And they would have succumbed to the floods. But in his obedience and by faith, he built this strange structure, probably with other help. I don't think he was there all by himself, nailing each piece of wood. Who knows? But what we do know is by faith, he obeyed God. And at the other side of the floods, his faith remained intact. As you heard in the story that Brad read, once the rains and the floods receded, what was the first thing he did? This is a piece that's often left out of the story. He offered a sacrifice. He worshiped. He worshiped of everything that was saved in there. He took a few of those living beings and said, God, I worship you. That's what building an altar of sacrifice is. He worshiped God even through the destruction of the entire world, but he had been saved. And I'll bet he wasn't partying on that boat. I'll bet there were a lot of tears on that boat. I bet there were a lot of friends who were wiped out in those floods. And he worshiped God in the midst of the pain. Bless the Lord, O my soul. I don't know what you're doing, God, but I know you. And I know you've rescued me. These are pieces of the story that are sometimes left out. In the time that we have today, I want to just highlight a few. Maybe bring some familiar or seemingly familiar symbols of the flood story into maybe unfamiliar significance. I asked on Facebook, I like to do this, and just survey friends, believers, unbelievers, of tell me everything you remember about Noah, the ark, the flood, that whole story, and the rainbow. And some believers responded, some non-believers responded. And here's a sampling, and I'm going to ask you the same question in just a moment. You've already had a little bit of a starter, but somebody said, I think the ark was about 40 cubits in length. Very technical. Another guy said, Steve Carroll, Evan Almighty, was super funny. Okay. Another, Ruth, pointed me to Bill Cosby. He did a comedy sketch on Noah and the ark. And I looked it up, and it was hilarious. Absolutely funny. And God says, Noah? Yes, Lord. And then God responds, how long can you tread water? I love that. That was good. Another friend pointed out the children's song, the Noah and the Arky Arky song. You remember that song? She even sent me an MP3 on it. So I could play it, but I actually won't. Another friend of the family wrote, pairs of animals being saved from a big flood were put onto a huge boat called an ark. Why not call it Noah's boat? Apparently, they were successful since we are still here. However, evidence of the actual boat, ark, is still being sought out by archaeologists. I recall they thought it was atop Mount Ararat. Even as somebody who I don't think he's a believer would know some things about this. And I want to put this out to all of us here. Just in a brief word or a brief idea, shout some things together here about Noah's story, the flood, the ark, the rainbow. What do you remember about this story? Go. Dove. Good. What else? Water. What else? Phil? It was a long journey. Very long journey. Yes. What else? Righteousness. Absolutely. What else? Promise. Yeah, we'll get to that. It took a very long time to build it. Mm-hmm. Without rain. Who would build a boat without water, right? Interesting. Lots of ridicule. Absolutely. What else? It was a plan. It was a plan. No accident. He did it in faith. This is good stuff. Keep going. We've already covered some of it, and we see the detail, the graphic nature of this destruction. And yet, in the midst of this, I want us to understand that while there is a flood of God's wrath on all of the sins of mankind, and the whole earth had grown extremely sinful, there's a flood that washes it all, that cleans it, destroys it, punishment. That there's that flood of God's wrath, there's a greater flood. And the greater flood is this, the greater flood is of grace. Noah was provided the ark, not to show how righteous he was, but as an example of his obedience to God and God's provision of mercy. It took me a while before I saw that the ark was actually a symbol of Jesus. Think about it. Inside the ark, he and his family and his children and all of humanity were saved. We, in this sinful world and in our own transgressions, must be inside of Jesus, because outside of Jesus and outside of the ark, we're objects of wrath. When we think of the flood, we think, well, any time something happens, an earthquake, a tsunami, a flood, a shooting in a theater, we ask, everyone always goes from atheist to somehow an agnostic and says, where was God in all of this? Did that question cross your mind? Every time something bad happens in the world, how could a good God allow bad stuff in this world? Great question. But inside of that question is, he is a good God. And he allows these bad things not because he causes them, but because this bad world deserves its own consequences. And he provides, in the midst of that, he provides salvation. We are not better off than those who get struck by evil things. I have a newspaper that was delivered to my doorstep right in front of my garage. And the reason it's in cellophane like this is because it's very dewy in the morning. And in order for them to protect their newspaper, they send this. It's free. I don't subscribe to this. And if I open this, which I will in just a little while, there's going to be lots of news in here. Perhaps some of the Olympics, but perhaps a lot of bad news. Perhaps some things going on in the city, perhaps some things going on in the world, perhaps wars, perhaps scandals, and all those different things. And when we take it out of here, it's now exposed. And when we start reading everything in here, we discern, okay, I love the Target ads too. Targets are the best part, the freebies. But if we were to look through this, page after page, there would be things we agree with and things we don't agree with. But what we recognize is nothing is new. The world is still the same. The world is still rebelling against God. The world is still just racking upon sin upon sin over and over and over again. And what's going to happen here is we're going to see that perhaps the world is even more sinful than it was in the time of Noah. The more we read the news, the more we watch the news. How many of you leave the news or finish reading, watching the news enlightened and encouraged and feeling good about the world? I'm depressed every time I watch the news. Unless we watch a Steve Hartman story from CBS News about everybody has a story. Thanks, Trisha. But there's very rarely any good news. Why? Because news isn't new. It's old. It's still a very sinful world, but mercy. The flood of God's mercy, the flood of God's grace is available just as it was then, but even greater because we don't have to find an ark. We don't have to build an ark. We go to Jesus. And that's available on every continent, not just on a mountaintop, but in a valley. And Jesus is available. And what I love to try and do here is shock you a little bit. If we could just symbolize this as the sin of the world, and we were to baptize this. The word in Greek for baptize is to dip, baptizo, it's to dip or to put into dye, D-Y-E, dye. And we were to do this, what would happen? Well, the first thought in Kristen and Rachel's mind is, I hope that's clean, right? I hope it wasn't peed on by a dog on your doorstep in the garage, but it was in the cellophane, so okay. But what will happen when this goes in there and come out? It's just paper, isn't it? What happens to the bad news as it's baptized, the sin of the world as it's baptized into the waters, the flood? What happens? It's changed forever. It's no going back. Is it ruined? Maybe. Can't read it quite the same, but you can turn it into paper mache. You can throw it in the compost bin. You can redeem it, make a Bible out of it. You can do a lot of different things, but it's changed forever. If it was ink, it would be marked forever. It would be different. And as we go into the baptism in just a few moments here, and for those of you who have been baptized, picture this, that being part of the baptism in the Holy Spirit is being dipped into Christ. And what happens there? We die. D-I-E. We die to our sins. Not D-Y-E. We die. But then we are died. D-Y-E. We are died in Christ. We have the new tone, a new identity. And every part of our body, head to toe, inside, outside, is marked by Jesus. And what's interesting is there's a passage in 1 Peter, and this is where I want to take us. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3. And if you would stand for the reading of God's Word, we're going to have a couple more moments here. 1 Peter chapter 3, we're going to start in verse 17. Peter the apostle makes a connection with baptism, but he also makes a connection with the Noah story and the flood that I want for all of us to hear and experience. We're in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 17. If someone could call out the page on the Pew Bible just to help everyone. 1202 is in your Pew Bible. Thank you. 1 Peter 3:17. It is better. It is better if it is God's will to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ died for sins, once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit, through whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who disobeyed long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah, while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. In it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Baptism that's not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience toward God. It, baptism, saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to Him. Wow! You may be seated. When we see that baptism not by water, but baptism by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that is why we celebrate, that is what we see in the death of the world's sin. Every sinner in the world who comes to Christ dies and is raised. That's what happens when, in just a moment, Rachel and Kristen will go under, is a symbol in this water of what God has actually done in their lives, to die going under in the flood of God's wrath towards their own and our sins. But they don't stay down there, because what would happen if they stayed down there? They'd drown, they'd suffocate. We'd have a lawsuit on our hands. Okay. We're not going there. But in resurrection and new life, the name of our church, they are raised with Christ as we are. I want to land on one final symbol. We see the flood, we see the ark, but it's the rainbow, and I'm stepping on the rainbow somewhere here. The rainbow is a fun little symbol. It's a politically charged symbol in these days. It's a marketing tool for Skittles. And when you think of rainbows, you think of all the pretty colors, right? You think, wow, how does this rainbow symbolize hope for me, or a promise, as somebody mentioned? The Hebrew word has double meanings here. The rainbow could mean comfort, but it actually isn't about rainbow itself. You heard Brad say, God hung the rainbow in the clouds. And what we need to remember is that the rainbow is not specifically just about colors, but in those times it was about weaponry. And it was about warfare. Not because it's a pretty color, but because archers needed to go hunting and get food, and it was an archer's bow. And when you think about that, I want us to always, this is my point of redeeming the rainbow right now. When you think about the direction of the bow, this archer's bow, which way is it pointing? Which way is it pointing? If the string was here, and you were in the Olympics, and you were to aim and win your gold medal, would you aim it this way? No, you'd aim it this way, at the target. And when the flood happens, the target of God's wrath hits sin. But after, God makes a covenant, and He hangs the bow up here, and He says, never again will I wipe out the entire world. Pockets, maybe. And we see that constantly, time and time again, of destruction, of acts of God, and all these different things. But it's hung up here to remind us that it's aiming towards Him. He takes the blame. He takes the pain. This is even before the law is even given. He takes the sacrifice. It's an amazing image. And I want to redeem the rainbow, not because it's just colorful, but every time you see a flag being waved in rainbow, you think not just freedom, you don't think San Francisco, you think that should point me, an arrow pointing to heaven, that God takes my sin, takes my sacrifice, takes what I deserve, wrath. And that reminds me of the flood of God's mercy and God's grace. We are no longer objects of wrath. In Christ, we are objects of mercy. What a great message for our city, for everyone who needs it. A few weeks ago, there was a parade about pride. Humbly, we can come and say, I love the deeper meaning of a rainbow. I'm not against you. I am in just as need of a Savior. If I told you my sins, would you listen? Let me not point out yours. Let me just say, I need Jesus. We all do. And we walk in by two, by twos, by twos, by twos. The flood is not a story of a floating zoo. And it's not a story of a temporary small little flood. It's a story of God. Noah's not the main character. God is. We are all deserving of His wrath, but His great flood of grace drenches us even deeper. How great is that love? How amazing is the love of God that we have in Jesus Christ? Would you pray with me? God, we grieve and we mourn when we see destruction in the world, and rightfully. Let us just cause us right now. Let us grieve right now the sin in our own hearts that we struggle with on a daily basis. And if we were to add and take a collection, instead of taking money as these offering plates were passed around, if we were just to take a collection of all of our sins, I don't think anyone would show up next week. But I'm so glad at the foot of the cross, Jesus, that is where we are cleansed and forgiven and completely shown mercy that we never deserved. This world, I'm so glad this world is now the object of your mercy. As we watch and hear and testify to our sisters as they get baptized today, may we reflect, as we do whenever we go to somebody's funeral, the death of sin. But at the same time, whenever we rejoice at the picture of a new baby, and we've had lots of new babies in this church, with the goo-goo and gaga, let us rejoice with new life and the joy that comes with that, that you give to us. May that flood, the flood of life, the flood of mercy and grace, drench us today as we participate and witness this baptism and hear from our sisters of your grace in their life. Jesus, you are good. And we are in you. Saved in you, loved in you, fulfilled in you, satisfied in you. For those who are outside of you, I pray that you would encourage them to get in the boat, to get into the ark, to get into Christ. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message brought to you by New Life Church of the Nazarene. Stay connected with New Life at www.newlifesf.org and on facebook.com/New Life Church SF. Join us for Sunday worship services beginning at 10:45 a.m. Again, New Life Church is located at 300 Yoloa Street on Knockash Hill in San Francisco, California, 94127. The mission of New Life is to become like Christ, to belong as His community, and to bring His gospel to the world, one life at a time.